The following podcast is taken from a live broadcast on Inspire FM.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. Welcome to the Arise to Success show, where we aim to highlight inspiring individuals and their journeys to success. My name is Jihad, I'm your host in this show. Dear listeners, today's show is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions for today, but please feel free to text WhatsApp your thoughts about the show in 0777948182, or you can comment on Facebook as well. Our guest today is Jameela Chowdhury, who is an events and volunteer coordinator for Muslim Hands. Jameela will be discussing with us today the virtues of charity and the importance of working with the community. As it is our last 10 days of Ramadan, inshallah, this is a really good opportunity to learn more about the benefits and importance of charity. So inshallah, we can contribute to gain that reward in this blessed month, inshallah. So this show, inshallah, will be around the themes of, as we have some themes in Ramadan, so some of the themes of this week, inshallah, is about feeding the poor and taking care of the orphans, as well as charity in general. So inshallah, we'll be discussing this throughout, inshallah, the show. Jameela, jazakallah khair for being with us today, and knowing you're not very you're not feeling very well, but we really appreciate you being here with us today, and welcome to the Arise to Success show. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Alhamdulillah. So,
I haven't been feeling very well, but getting better, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for being with us today. Inshallah, Jameela, if we can firstly just start with you telling us a little bit more about you and your journey in becoming an events and volunteers coordinator.
It was my current position, working as a charity, came about after a number of years of myself being involved in charity work, and that is something that I have involved myself in since I was a young girl. I'm a mother now, but this is something I've been doing since I was attending school. I've always felt the importance of giving back to the community, giving back to the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallam said, take benefit of five before you lose five, your youth before your old age, your time before you become preoccupied, and your life before you pass away. And it's so important for us to maximize on all of these freedoms that we are blessed with. So from a very young age, when I first started getting more observant with my religion, I realized that doing charity work, or being an aid worker, or being at service to the community is something that is a pivotal part of our iman, part of our religion, and something that brings a lot of satisfaction and contentment to one's heart. And then moving into this a lot more deeper and deeper, I then became very much dedicated into contributing a big portion of my time and myself to charity work. As you see, the global crisis around Muslim countries, whether it's in Sudan or in Afghanistan or in the Middle Eastern countries such as Syria, Yemen, you look at the kind of tragic situation around the world, and being in the first world, living in the UK, you feel very much disabled and unable to do things. And by contributing myself to getting involved in fundraising and getting others to fundraise, organizing events, creating awareness about the plight of the Muslims around the world, it's something that encouraged me to land me in my current position as an events and volunteers coordinator, whereby my passion for organizing events, bringing people together, raising funds that are sent out to reach these needy Muslims, gives me a lot of happiness, gives me a lot of purpose and fulfillment. You know, Allah says, you know, give back from the favors of Allah. Whatever Allah has bestowed you with, give that back, because the whole concept of wealth is that all wealth belongs to Allah. And this wealth is there for us to spend on the people and the needy people. And in short, this is the reason where I am today as a volunteers and events coordinator. I try to make it a little bit interesting, make it fun for fundraisers, while we also try and help an ummah that is in different levels of crisis in different areas of the world.
Absolutely, JazakAllah for that. And mashallah, you mentioned something that I feel is quite important, that you were interested in this from a young age.
Yeah.
And I feel like this really plays a role in how it shapes us in adulthood as well. So maybe if you can tell us a bit more about how was it for you volunteering or contributing to charity work from a young age, and how important is that to involve the children in such acts so that they can grow up having that in them, you know, to give charity, to take care of those who are less fortunate, and, you know, to be involved with the community as well.
I think it all kind of emanated from the concept that my mum, Rahimullah, used to teach me, which was the concept of selflessness. Mm. Putting others first, or even when you're putting yourself first, always being considerate of others. And growing up in the 90s, I'm just exposing a bit of my age right now, but growing up in the 90s, there wasn't that many charities or Muslim charities around. So I was exposed to a local Oxfam down the road and help the aged shop. So there was a lot of non-Muslim charities around. And in the beginning, I involved myself with any kind of charity, helping my local community, irrespective of their faith. It's something that I took pleasure in, helped the aged. I volunteered in these charity shops. But then I also, being very passionate about my religion, I also wanted to help my own community as well. You know, the religion that I come from, I wanted to help Muslims. And at that time, there was a drought in Somalia. And I was in my first year in sixth form college. And so I contacted the local girls who will come to the Friday prayer room. Mm-hmm. And we had a little chit chat about how we can help. There was a couple of Somali girls at that time. So they had family abroad that was suffering, so they experienced the kind of pain firsthand, having members of family abroad. So that's how it all started for me. We did a bit of fundraising. We fundraised via Oxfam, a non-Muslim charity, and realized that some of these charities perhaps don't have the same kind of mindset as we would expect them to, when especially giving to Muslim charities. So this is where it all kind of kicked off from. And then there was the growth of Muslim charities started to come in, such as Islamic Relief and Muslim Hands, which is the current charity that I'm working with, who've been around for over 30 years, or 30 years actually. So it's actually, it started off quite small. It started off quite emotional for me. I also got involved with local youth clubs, coming from Luton, where I was born and raised initially, now living in London. I spent a lot of time in youth centres and youth clubs, and there was a lot of community liaison work taking place within the like kind of Muslim neighbourhoods. And benefiting from that kind of exposure, as I grew a little bit older, I decided, no, I want to also give back to a community of people who helped me keep on track. So then I got involved with the same youth clubs, with the same youth centres that I attended as a young teenager. And I'm very grateful for them, there was very little around when I was growing up. I feel like that zone has now expanded, but it helped me to be the person I am. It kept me out of trouble, kept me out of drugs, kept me out of all the kind of crazy stuff that unfortunately our youth get exposed to or get involved in. And I saw the importance of community liaison work, charity work, and having platforms and an area to be able to volunteer. And volunteering really does, it's something that you give out of your time.
Mm.
And I did feel that it does develop a unique character within yourself that is transferable in other aspects of your life.
Mm.
And it helps you to fulfill other areas of your growth. And alhamdulillah, I feel that continuous dedication that I had made from a young age is now being manifested in the person that I am today, or the skill sets and the kind of things that I've managed to achieve in my adulthood, alhamdulillah.
Mm, alhamdulillah. And it kind of shows the importance as well of having that in our children from a young age, so that they grow up with that in them, to be, you know, to feel for others less, or less fortunate, to take care of others and so on. And I love how, mashallah, you said that your mom had that in the nurturing of yourself, mashallah, from a young age. So it shows how important it is. And jazakallah for all the detailed information on that. Appreciate it. And just to remind our dear listeners is that we have we have Jameela Chowdhury with us today on the show, who's an events and volunteers coordinator for Muslim Hands. Jameela is discussing with us today the virtues of charity and the importance of working with the community. Just a reminder to listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we won't be able to take any questions for today, but please feel free to message us on 0777-948-1822 with any thoughts about the show, or you can message us on Facebook as well. So Jameela, considering that we are in Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan, can you tell us more about the virtues of charity, specifically during this blessed month?
Yes, subhanAllah. So charity is an integral part of the whole of Ramadan. It holds a very immense significance generally in our lives, but more specifically during the month of Ramadan. Often people choose to give their zakat al-mal in this month of Ramadan. One, to increase the reward of giving charity. Second, people use this as the opportunity to give from their wealth to the needy. Being one of the most sacred months of Allah, throughout this month, as you're fasting from dawn to dusk, the virtues of charity in Ramadan comes from our belief that whatever deed you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it for you. Charity is one of the ways that you could fulfill your religious obligation towards Allah. It's one of the ways you fulfill your obligation to those that are in need. It is one of charity comes, which is zakat, is also a form of charity, which is one of the five pillars of Islam. And it's a fundamental obligation for every Muslim to engage in. The reward of charity in the month of Ramadan is so much so that, in fact, everything that we do in the month of Ramadan is multiplied. Mm-hmm. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward of fasting, the reward of your good deeds in this month is only known to Allah. Mm-hmm. And everything is increased. The forgiveness that comes from giving charity in the month of Ramadan is also increased. The Prophet ﷺ said, or it was known from the Sahaba, that nobody was more generous in the month of Ramadan, and nobody gave more in the month of Ramadan. But the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to strive to give lots and lots in charity, and he will encourage others to give in charity. So in this month, in essence, charity during Ramadan, especially in the final 10 days, it serves a means of worship. When you give charity, it's not just you departing from your wealth, but it's also a form of obedience. If you think about it, you're worshipping Allah every time you give for the sake of Allah. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that charity does not decrease your wealth. It's something that would forever multiply in your banks of good deeds. And even in the dunya, you will see the reward it's not something that would ever reduce yourself in bank balance. And by giving generously during the blessed month of Ramadan, it's one of the ways that we can become closer to Allah. It's one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. And it also contributes towards the welfare of society. When we're fasting and when we're breaking our fast in a very very privileged state, I will say, regardless of our hardships in the UK, it's nowhere near as tragic and hard as it is for many parts of the world. Obviously, currently the situation in Gaza is something that is very much heartfelt with every single person in the UK. And when you're fasting in the month of Ramadan and you're giving charity to obviously to those that are less fortunate, it's the least we can do to purify our fast, to purify our wealth. And there's so many virtues about fasting. And as Rasulullah used to say to Bilal radiallahu anhu, he used to say, give Bilal, give in charity. And he was a very poor Sahaba, so his means of giving was very little. And he would say that Allah would compensate for you for what you give in charity. There is no loss when it comes to giving charity. There is no, I'm going to be hard up, or I'm going to be less off because I've given charity. Charity is one of the ways that it prevents us from being afflicted from calamities. Especially for women to give charity is something that Rasulullah ﷺ had encouraged during his travel, his journey during Isra Miraj. He said to the woman, he came back and he stood on his minbar and said, I saw Jibril showed me hellfire, and I saw that majority of the dwellers of hellfire are women. So he said, oh woman, give charity, give charity. And he kept repeating it until the woman started taking off their bracelets and their bangles and their necklaces, and they started giving away even the items that they were wearing in charity because of the fear of what withdrawing from charity can do to the state of us. So there is the obligatory charity that we give, the zakat al mal that we give, and we usually nominate Ramadan as the month to give that zakat al mal. But then there's the charity that we give to purify ourselves, the charity that we give to support our Muslims, the charity that we give to pardon us from our sins. And it is the wealth is a favor of Allah, and the wealth is not something for us to just deposit into our own bank accounts, but it's there to be able to be used so that we can serve and support our brothers and sisters around the world. And Ramadan is the best time to do it. Anything that we do in the month of Ramadan is virtue. Anything in the month of Ramadan, it's a unique month. It is a month where we are the guest of Allah, and Allah says, and I will give you the reward for this. And Allah doesn't mention the multitude of ajr that we will get for every deed. It's not an ordinary month. Giving charity in this month, it's not ordinary. It's like praying in the Haram. Why do people travel to Makkah, Medina, even to Al-Aqsa to pray? Because those salah are like 100,000, 10,000, 50,000, times it's worth in any other masajid. And the same with Ramadan. It's a time where any single deed, you're breathing, Rasulullah said, becomes like tasbih in the month of Ramadan. Your sleep becomes ibadah. So can we even begin to fathom what the virtue of giving charity will be like in this month of Ramadan? It's innumerable. It's beyond our comprehension, I shall say.
MashaAllah, that's so beautiful. And JazakAllah khair for the beautiful reminders, which has been very, very beneficial. I'm hoping, inshallah, that's the same for our dear listeners. JazakAllah khair for that. On that topic of, giving charity and the virtues of it, I'm wondering as well, how beneficial that is for ourselves in terms, for example, those who are giving charity. For instance, we hear about charity helps to prevent, calamities, removing their sins and so on. So how beneficial it is for the person giving that charity as well?
How beneficial it is for
the individual giving the charity.
Okay. As I said, charity is one way of preventing calamity coming your way. And it's, and there's a picture that goes around on social media from time to time where, you know, there is this, you know, there's a person and they have a cloud on top of them, and they have these constraint brick walls on their side and that are kind of enclosing in them, and the sadaqah that they give is their salvation. And that's what the charity does for you. It really prevents you from being afflicted by any kind of difficulty. And some of the forms of benefits that we as an individual giving charity can experience in our lives is, number one, as I mentioned, it protects us from calamity, any kind of masiba, you know, it will prevent us. And it's happened to me many times where I remember once when I was driving and it was heavily raining and I couldn't brake. I was braking, and the car in front of me was so close. And I just made a pledge to Allah that if I come out of this, I will, inshallah, donate a certain amount of money. If Allah, and suddenly the car just, the brakes just went in, it just locked in, and I didn't crash. You know, that was one thing that, you know, I can tell when we make, and we're allowed to, people might think, what is it? We don't bargain with Allah. We don't make these kind of promises. And of course we can. There's a concept called tawassul where we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our good deeds. If we're going through a very difficult situation, there's a concept of tawassul where we can ask Allah, make dua through our good deeds for Allah to alleviate something else that we're going through in our life. And there's a famous story of the whole idea behind how tawassul it was practiced by the early sahaba or the early companions or the early believers. The story of the three men who were locked in the cave, I won't go into it, but they used their means of good deeds to escape from the cave. And that's something that we can do. We can escape ourselves from many different types of adversity through charity giving. It also prevents us from being miserable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, when anybody does something for the sake of Allah, and charity is something that is done for the sake of Allah, that's really important for us to know. We do it for the Muslims, but ultimately we're doing it for the sake of Allah. The intention has to be absolutely clear here, that it's when we give for the sake of Allah. Give for the sake of Allah. Fi sabilillah, we say, for the sake of Allah. And that's what it needs to be for the sake of Allah. Charity is also a good deed that will never end. Like when we give charity, it doesn't stop. For example, there's something called sadaqa jariya, the continuous charity. This charity could be something like a bench that you made in a park that people sit on, benefit from, a tree. Muslim Hands has a charity plan where you can actually plant, subhanAllah, obviously now the situation in Palestine is dire, but you can plant olive trees and you can plant orange trees, and these trees will grow and they would bear fruit, and the people would benefit from that. So your charity isn't just from the moment that the seed was sown, you know, from its irrigation to the enjoyment of the fruits that the trees would give out every season. You benefit from that. That's sadaqa jariya. The charity will come to us on the day of judgment as a shade. And on the day of judgment, there'll be no shade as we know, except those who Allah wishes to shade from His mercy. One of those types of people that will be shaded on the day of judgment will be those who give charity. It will protect your face from the hellfire. It would increase Allah's love for you. It would speed up your dua. So if you've made dua, you want to get married, you want that good job, you want to pass your exams, give sadaqah, give charity. It would increase, it would allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness to you, and it will bring and make give you an accepted dua. And it also elevates your status. Now, the best charity is the hidden charity, right? It's the charity that you don't speak about. The concept of that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand, so your left hand doesn't know what your right hand gives in charity. That is the most sincerest form of charity, the most highest form of charity. But a lot of us fail to understand that that is not the only form of charity. The hidden charity is, of course, the secret charity is the best charity. But there was charity that is also given in public to encourage others to give charity. That is also encouraged. Me and you participated in a ladies' Gaza night, do you remember? Yeah. And we had an auction where we were just, everyone was bidding over another person. We were encouraging the competition. We were encouraging the bidding to just increase and increase. And it was a bit of fun, a bit of laugh. But most importantly, we were trying to increase the value of that donated item given to us by different businesses and sponsors.
I'm sorry, Jamila. I'm going to have to stop you there because we're going to go for a break and we're definitely going to continue, inshallah, that conversation after the break. I'm sorry I had to stop you there.
That's fine.
Dear listeners, we have Jamila on the show with us today, who's an events and volunteers coordinator for Muslim Hands, and we are discussing the virtues of charity and importance of working in the community. Please do stay tuned, dear listeners. This is Inspire FM Luton on 105.1. We'll be going for a short break, inshallah, we'll continue.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Atif Nawaz. Listen to Inspire FM shows in your time by heading over to inspirefm.org or listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to the Arise to Success show. We have Jamila Chowdhury with us today, who is an events and volunteers coordinator for Muslim Hands. Jamila will be discussing with us today the virtues of charity and the importance of working with the community. As it is our last 10 days of Ramadan, it is a very good opportunity to learn more about the benefits and importance of charity, so inshallah we can contribute to gain that reward in this blessed month, as well as to benefit from all the different things of giving charity, as Jamila mentioned before the break. And this show as well will be around the themes that we have for Ramadan for this week, which is feeding the poor and taking care of the orphans. And also we are talking about charity in general. And just a reminder, dear listeners, that this is a pre-recorded show, so we won't be able to take any questions. But feel free to text WhatsApp your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822. We can message us on Facebook as well. So Jamila, mashallah, you've been sharing really, really great stuff about charity. And just before the break, we were talking about how giving charity benefits us as individuals, and not necessarily, you know, just the reward, but also in dunya. So I'm sorry I had to stop you before the break because it was getting to time for the break. So please carry on.
Right. So I was actually nearing to the end of explaining some of the forms of individual benefits. I was saying that charity elevates your status. Mm. Sometimes we don't realize what it is that makes people love us, people who we've never met. Or people who've met us for the first time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when you do that kind of khayriyat, when you do that kind of good deed, then Allah will put Allah will put love for you in other people's hearts. People will begin to love you without meeting you, or even if they've barely known you, there will be love between your hearts. That is something that that Allah mentions. Rasulullah said that when you give sadaqah, it appeases the Lord's anger and averts an evil death. That's something that's really important for us. Last thing we want, we ask Allah for a good end. And sadaqah is one way that you can achieve a good ending for yourself. Sadaqah, it delays any kind of calamity coming your way as well. And as I explained, no one was more generous than Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mm-hmm. And Ramadan is the time for us to begin to try and follow the traditions of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba used to describe that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give sadaqah more rapidly than the blowing wind. If you ever felt a very strong gustly wind on your face, where you feel like your eyeball was going to pop out, but Rasulullah sallallahu was more giving than the blowing wind. Charity, we all sin. We are the children of Adam, and we sin by day and by night. And the best of the children of Adam are those that repent from their sins. We make tawbah, but another way of making tawbah, seeking repentance, is by giving charity. Mm. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that charity extinguishes the sins like water extinguishes the fire.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's an entire gate in Jannah. There's an entire gate in Jannah called Bab As-Sadaqah. It's one of those eight gates of Jannah that only those who give charity enter. And we have now reached the end of Ramadan. We're now in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And up until now, we've only got 10 more days left until, or however many we're in the last 10, we've only got a few more days left until the gates of Jahannam are open again.
Mm.
And, you know, it's really, really important for us to try and race towards this gate of Jannah and trying to see how quickly we can enter this. And one of the ways that we can enter is through the gate of Bab As-Sadaqah. I can actually go on and tell you about the virtues of Sadaqah. It creates a balance and benefit to our society. It helps us show kindness to the most vulnerable people in the world today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You put a smile on the face of your Muslim brother is sadaqah. To smile at your Muslim brother is sadaqah." So it doesn't have to be just, you know, wealth. Smiling, your good deeds, helping an elderly auntie in Bury Park with her shopping, you know, when she's got the fish in her, frozen fishes and vegetables of bananas and fruits, whatever, you know, and you help her and you assist her with her bags. That is sadaqah. Good deeds are sadaqah. A kind word is sadaqah. Guiding a person to good is sadaqah. So all of that is sadaqah. And being in the charity sector, working with Muslim Hands, when we see the feedback videos that come, even from Gaza right now, even from Palestine, from Yemen, from Somalia, from Pakistan, we recently, I know the hearts and the minds of every Muslim is occupied by the tragedies of Gaza. The situation that took place, the flood that took place in Pakistan, Muslim Hands started a rebuilding housing project. And they built like really small brick houses for these people. And the smile and the happiness that you see as they enter their new places of residency is amazing. They're just small, you know, basic homes for these families. Yeah. But the happiness and the joy that you see on them, it's just captivating. And when you know that some of your charity has been the contribution of these houses being built, or the bread factories that we have in Yemen and Syria, it literally costs 30p for a few loaves of bread that each child will take home, and as they pick up those breads during the distribution. From the distribution warehouse, and the smile on their muddy faces, you know, it's just so infectious. It's worth than any sadaqah that you've given just to see that smile. It makes it so worth it. I can't explain in words. And so this is some of the miles and distances that your sadaqahs travel. Some people feel shy when I've got the collection bucket and I'm outside the masjid collecting, for example. And they're like, "Oh, sis, I've just got a couple of quid," and I'm like, "Wow, you know, it's." And I always give them the example. Do you know, it cost us 30p to bake bread, in Yemen. So your pound is a lot. Do you know how many stomachs that you pay? Like, if you think about it like that, you know, people would give more. It's not about giving plastic notes. I was going to say paper notes. We've changed to plastic notes now in the UK. Mm-hmm. It's not about plastic notes. It could be that odd bronze coin that you have in your pocket or at the bottom of your handbag. All of it, never devalue what your sadaqah can do for yourself and for others as well. And like I said, the sadaqah jariyah, the beauty of that sadaqah is that you earn reward even if you are in your grave.
Mm.
So try to look for at least one action of sadaqah jariyah that you can do. Building a well that a village can benefit from its clean water. That's also a continuous charity. Trees. These are all examples. Schools, hospitals, a masjid for people to pray in. in Sri Lanka, we had a little small business project for the villages there, where we helped them establish so they can be self-employed and have their own little stalls and shops, so they can earn for themselves. In Pakistan, we have a project to teach women to sew, so they can tailor clothing and be able to be a little bit more self-sufficient. These are forms of sadaqa, continuous sadaqa, sadaqa jariya, and that will never ever decrease even after your death. And that's really important for us to understand.
Absolutely. So
we should all invest ourselves in some sort of sadaqa, especially sadaqa jariya.
Absolutely, so beautiful. Jazakallah khair for all of this. I can just sit there listening to you forever, mashallah, about all these lovely reminders. And I love as well how you shared that the forms of charity is not only financial, it is there are various forms of charity. Smiling, you've given so many examples. So for those who are unable to give charity in the form of finances, there are so many ways that you have given. So jazakallah khair for that. And mashallah, you've given so many examples for the Qajariya, different forms of charity. And as our themes of Ramadan, or some of our themes for Ramadan of this week, is to feed the poor as well as taking care of the orphans. If we talk about those specific areas, you've already talked about, for example, you know, feeding the poor in terms of the bread, subhanAllah, the smile it brings to people's faces, subhanAllah, something so small like this, it's very emotional. We don't think about it. And how you said as well, like a few pounds, we may think of it as something very small, but it can make a huge difference to someone's life. So you talked a little bit about feeding the poor. Maybe if we can talk a little bit more about taking care of the orphans and how beneficial is that, you know, Islamically for our dunya and akhirah as well. And there is a hadith about, with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in terms of taking care of the orphans and the position of that person to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you can tell us more about that. But sorry, just before we get into that, just to remind our dear listeners, as I forgot to do that, is that we have Jamila on the show with us today, who is an events and volunteers coordinator for Muslim Hands. And she's discussing with us today the virtues of charity and the importance of working with the community. Jamila, go ahead.
Can I just kindly ask you to repeat your last question?
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of, the benefits of and how important it is to take care of the orphans as a form of charity, because we talked a little bit about feeding the poor. If you have more examples for feeding the poor, that would be great as well. And I thought it was quite important for us to address taking care of the orphans, because there was a hadith about the Prophet ﷺ in terms of the position of the person to the Prophet, those who take care of the orphans.
SubhanAllah, this thinking about an orphan child is an emotional thing, because you can never envisage everyone is entitled to a set of parents. And when a child is an orphan, to lose that family, to lose that identity, to become almost nameless. And that is the current situation that you can see in Gaza. United Nations have given them a new title called WCNSF, a wounded child with no surviving family. And that's a very unique title that no other situation has ever experienced, that there are children who are wounded and no surviving family. That's a unique form of becoming an orphan, right? And to adopt an orphan is one of the most simplest, and I say simple with some levels of reservation, it's one of the most highest virtuous things that you can do. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who helps raise a child, an orphan child, who supports and raises an orphan child, would be with me like this, and he put his fingers together on the day of judgment, meaning that you gain that level of nearness and closeness to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of your mercy, because of your rahmah, because of your compassion to the orphan child. You know, the simple gesture of even rubbing your hands through the head of an orphan child is something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us. And now, on a slightly practical level of what we can do, is we can sponsor children. who are orphans in different parts of the world, not just in Gaza, in Somalia, in Pakistan, in many other different parts of the world, in Bangladesh. There are many, many orphan children. There are many, many orphanages around. And we always overlook how important it is to raise those children, to look after them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who doesn't have a father, then I am his father. You know, to that level of importance did our deen, did Islam give importance and concern. You know, we have the whole children's services in the UK, and they're there to safeguard the welfare of every child in Britain. Mm-hmm. And they are protected and they are not neglected or harmed physically, emotionally. But this is something that Islam has taught us over 1400 years ago, that we do not neglect or abandon the children of this ummah, that these are not children of some dead parents, that this is a child of Islam, and it is an incumbent duty upon us to take care of its maintenance and its affairs until it reaches an age of maturity. And that's important for us to really comprehend.
Yeah. So I'm just making sure I haven't lost you still there, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm still here, yeah.
No, that's great. Jazakallah khair. Sorry, did you have anything?
I did want to share some rewards of sponsoring or like looking after a child, because our messenger was also an orphan. And so it was something very close to home. Obviously, he lost his mom at a very young age, at infancy, and father before he was born. And subhanAllah, like the kind of like the reward you can get. The Messenger Muhammad said that the best house among the Muslims is the house in which an orphan is well treated. So if you are raising an orphan or taking care of a child that is an orphan, and you treat them well, that is the best house. And the worst of houses are those that orphans are being mistreated. And a lot of mistreatment of orphans does take place. So we need to be quite mindful that it's a form of righteousness to be able to look after an orphan child. And Allah says in the Quran, actually, he says righteousness is in the one who believes in Allah and the last day, the angels, the books, the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of his love for it to his relatives and to the orphans and to the needy and the traveler. So even though you love it, even though you want to spend on your own children, you know, but if you want to obtain righteousness, piety, and this month of Ramadan is all about taqwa, it's all about attaining that level of righteousness. Allah says in another verse of the Quran that fasting has been prescribed for you so that you may attain taqwa, so that you may attain piety and righteousness. Another way of attaining that taqwa, the one of the primary goals of Ramadan, is to be able to look after and support orphans.
Yeah, JazakAllah khair for that. Beautiful reminders. Thank you so much. And certainly, mashallah, just coming back to the point where there are so many types of charity and how we can give charity, and mashallah, taking care of the orphans has very, very high status to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in Islam, and has a lot of benefits for the individual as well, for the dunya and akhirah. So JazakAllah khair for that. I think it's quite important for us as well to address how we can continue doing that after Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, there are a lot of blessings, as you said, not just for charity, but any form of worship in Ramadan. How do we also make sure that we continue doing this after Ramadan, you know, considering everything that you've shared as well, that it doesn't just have benefit for the Muslim Ummah, but it also has benefits for us, you know, prevented from calamity, given the example of when you were driving, subhanAllah. And, you know, there's so many examples out there for giving charity that even, you know, I've heard of stories of people who are unwell and giving charity, Allah has cured them. And, for, you know, these are diseases that are uncured. So, for example, like, you know, some people have like stage 4 of cancer. Doctors said to the parents, your child is not going to survive. And subhanAllah, giving charity with that intention, subhanAllah, the child has been cured completely. And so many other examples. So how do we continue, you know, giving that charity and remembering to do so after Ramadan and not just during Ramadan?
It's important. I think every time it's one of those FAQ questions post-Ramadan. How do we continue with the spirit of Ramadan? And we're not just Ramadanis, we're not just Ramadan Muslims, but we strive to use this month of Ramadan, which should bring us the best version of ourselves, and continue that best version of ourselves in the next 11 months until we meet Ramadan again for renewal. One of the Sahaba were always the Salafs were asked a very popular question: how do we know that our Ramadan has been accepted? Like, what are the signs of, although it's ghaibiyya, it's only known to Allah, if truly our fasting and everything has been accepted. Mm-hmm. And but there are some kind of dunya signs that we can look out for to see how effective or how productive our Ramadan was, mm-hmm. our fasting, our taraweeh, our sadaqah giving. And the scholars said that you would know this, one of the ways you can know this is if you still have the tawfiq, the ability to be able to continue with all or most or some of the good deeds that you did in Ramadan. If you can see that you are still having some sort of continuity in the deeds that you did in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, then that is a sign of an accepted Ramadan. But also, it also shows that you have the willpower to continue this Ramadan charity giving spirit. Some of the kind of practical ways that you can continue benefiting is by establishing regular donations. So you can set up, we were talking about orphans, and some of the kind of reward of looking after an orphan. The Messenger Muhammad said, blessed is the wealth of the Muslim from which he gives to the poor and the orphans and the wayfarer as well. So three people the Messenger of Allah mentioned, blessed is his wealth. So Rasulullah had made dua upon the wealth of a Muslim who does that. So if you want that barakah and the blessing of this to come to your wealth, then you have to continue. There are charities, including Muslim Hands, that have established regular donation schemes. These are automatic monthly donations that will be direct debited from your account, where you can sponsor an orphan or you can sponsor a project. And at your own financial budget, you can ensure a consistent flow of financial support that you can give throughout the year. Maybe you can do it on your payday or the beginning of the week or on a Friday. People like to automate their donations on a Friday. Keep a charity box at home, you know, and whatever, you know, you have, small or little, whether it's a penny, like I said, like a little bronze 2p or 1p that you find, or a 5p or £5, whatever it is that you've got, make it a habit. Keep it somewhere public for the children and the family members to see it. Even your guests, have a little public donation box. The masjids have them, right? It's right in your face. You can't miss it, you know, and you would feel shy to walk past it without putting something into it. And now they have the contactless card option as well. So there's no getting away from giving charity when you're in a masjid. Do something like that in your house as well, where there's no getting away. But every time you wake up in the morning, you are obligated to give some level of charity in a monetary form. That's really important. Engage in community work. You know, that is sadaqah. Don't just, like I mentioned, it's not just the money that we give in sadaqah. It's our time that we give in sadaqah. You're volunteering, you know, aid working, community work, giving up some of your skills to support. I have a couple of friends who are counsellors who give up some of their evenings to handle a call centre to mm-hmm. deal with Muslim youth mental health crisis. And so that is a sadaqah. That is sadaqah. We forget sadaqah comes in all forms. Make a commitment that a few times in a week you'd help your mum and dad with some chores that they want you to do. Helping them is also a form of sadaqah. Fundraising, organizing events. If you can bake, that's a skill that you've been gifted with, alhamdulillah. Use that to raise funds. Cake bake sales, do that. Calligraphy, art, whatever skills that Allah has blessed you with, use that to benefit the ummah. Take time to educate yourself as well. Encouraging others to give other random kinds of kindness that you could have opportunities to perform. Do it. Reflect on your blessings and try and incorporate all of those practices into your life. You know, helping people physically, giving money. Actions are by intention. Yeah. And we will only get what we intend to do. So it's really important for us to rectify our intentions. So I can make lots of suggestions, but it comes from your heart. Absolutely. And it has to come. This is the place. This is the key place of giving. Is the heart must give first before your hands. It just reminds me of the courtroom.
We just got a few seconds left. Sorry,
I'm going to cut it now.
No, but Zaklaka, this has been very, very beneficial in the fact that, as you said, it's the intention that matters as well. And there are various ways of charity, not just financial, and it's something that we can do throughout the 11 months, inshallah, before the next Ramadan. Zaklaka khair, Jamila, that has been really, really good. Thank you so much. Thank you, dear listeners. And just a reminder, this is our last show during Ramadan. So inshallah, after Ramadan, our show will go back to normal timing, which is Mondays, 6 to 7 p.m. So please do stay tuned. Thank you again, Jamila. Thank you, dear listeners. And inshallah, early Eid Mubarak. Inshallah, I'll see you after Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Why not tune in to our live stream at inspirefm.org and follow and subscribe to our social media platforms at Inspire FM Luton.